On yesterday, I began the message from Nehemiah chapter 10 on don't neglect the house of God. And we discovered that if we are to quit neglecting the house of God, we must give God our time. But there are two more things that we need to do. So open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 10 as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages from the Book of Nehemiah. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes A Look in the Book.
Wanted something that looked nice. These people wanted something that looked nice, and they just slowly but surely forgot about God. And things weren't working out for them because self was on the throne and God was at the foot of the throne. And see, whoever's at the foot of the throne, that means the person who's at the foot is the servant to the person who's on the throne. And so the people was treating God like he was a bellhop. Go get this and go get that. And so God was letting them know, because you ain't got me in the right place, life don't work out for you. Even though you got a job, that job ain't good enough. Even though you got a house, the house ain't good enough. Even though you got clothes, the clothes ain't good enough. Even though you got money, the money ain't good enough. Nothing satisfied, because God is not in his right place. Could this be our problem today? Amen. Could this be the problem with the average person that's even in the church today? God is not in his right place. Oh, you don't want to listen to me this morning. I know what I'm talking about. This is how we often focus in on life. We have one thing going on. We go get that one thing, and a lot of times this one thing take us away from the church. We get all occupied with this little one thing in our life, whether it's a house, whether it's a car. We get all excited about this one thing. I'm coming back to church, but right now, you know, I got this thing here in my life. And that one thing sometimes can take us out. But sometimes it's not one thing. Some of us, you know, it's two things. And we just get excited about these two things that we got in our life. And these two things takes us away. God. And we tell folks, I ain't forgot about y'all down there, church. I'm going to be back down there. But right now, I got these things going on in my life. And then sometimes we add to that one more thing, don't we? We go get us something else to add to it. It get a little tougher. But I can handle it. I'm coming on back down there to the church. But then we add something else to it. We don't stop there. And this is where life starts getting kind of complicated. Sometimes we can't juggle like we used to. It's a little harder, but we don't want folks to know it's a little harder. We ain't ready to admit it yet. But we still preoccupied with these things in our life. Then we go and add something else, don't we? To the equation. And it's not until we start bobbling, not until we start dropping some things and having to chase some things, not until stuff starts getting kind of hard for us to manage, not until we see stuff rolling and popping out of our life, even hitting us on the head, and we start chasing after stuff. It's not until the juggling act get kind of hard for us to juggle that we begin to see our mistake. And we begin to realize that God did not create us to be a juggler. See, we start looking like a juggler rather than looking like a piston. And see, your mama, when she had you, she didn't have no juggler. When your mama named you, she didn't name no juggler. When you went to school, you didn't have juggler as your last name. When God created you, he created you to be a Christian, a child of God, not a juggler. Well, how then do you become looking like a Christian rather than looking like a juggler? The way you can become to look more like a Christian than to look like a juggler is three things. Let's go back over here to Nehemiah. Over here in Nehemiah chapter 10. The first thing you need to do is give God some time. Amen. Give God some time. Look at what it says in verse 31. As for the people of the land who brings wares or gain of Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or a holy day. And we will forgo the crop, the 7 year, and the extraction of every day. You see what the people are saying? The people said, we're going to give God some time. We're going to start worshiping on the Sabbath day. We're not going to start shopping on the Sabbath day. We're going to worship on the Sabbath day. And the people, they said, if anybody try to sell us some on the Sabbath day, we ain't buying anything on the Sabbath day. See, you got to see that you should not sell yourself so cheap. You ought to say, you are not for sale. They said that we're not going to do any business at all on the Sabbath day. And not only that, they said we're going to even start having a Sabbath year. Every 7 years, they were supposed to let the land rest. They was not supposed to plant anything, go out there and harvest crops and whatever. They were just supposed to focus in on the Lord. And this is exactly what they said they was going to do. In other words, they was going to give God some time. In other words, they had made a shift in their life. God began to sit on the throne, and now self was at the foot of the throne. Amen. They was going to give God some of their time. Listen, you always got time for whoever is first. Amen. Whatever is first and number one in your life, you always got time for whatever is number one. You may not have time for whatever is 21, but you always got time for whatever is one. Amen. And so when you tell God, I ain't got time for you, but you just said, God, you ain't number one no more. Because you always got time for number one. And they gave God a Sabbath. And you know, God has given you a Sabbath. The Christian Sabbath is Sunday. We worship on Sunday, not on Saturday, because Jesus was in the grave on Saturday, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Therefore, we worship on Sunday rather than on Saturday. Also, we worship on Sunday because that's the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week. And what we need to do, we need to let God know, starting on Sunday, that God, you are number one. See, it's one thing to say, God, you are number one. But if you tell God, God, you're number one, God's going to say, why come you want that church on Sunday? Amen. It would be just like if I tell my wife, baby, you are the number one person in my life besides God. But if I don't bring my money home, my talk is just cheap. If I don't give her no time, my talk is cheap. If I don't never have no time for her, my talk is cheap. If you ain't got time for God, your talk is cheap. Give God some of your time. Number two, give God your talent. Give God your talent. When you read chapter 10, you'll read a lot of people had different talents that they committed themselves to giving to God. Nehemiah, in verse 1, Nehemiah, the governor, he says, I'm going to use my talents for the Lord. Here in verse number 8, you'll read about some priests that says they're going to use their talents for the Lord. And verse number 9 through verse number 13, the Levites signed up. They said that we're going to use our talents for the Lord. Here in verse number 14, the leaders of the people got on board with God's program. They got on board. They were going to use their talents for the Lord. When you look at verse number 28, the Bible says, and the rest of the people, they signed the roll. They said they're going to use their talents for the Lord. You know, if the church is to function like it ought to function, then everybody must play their part in the kingdom of God. The reason you have dysfunctional home is because somebody in the house not playing their part. The reason you got dysfunctional churches is because somebody in the church is not playing their part. If we want to get our house together, everybody in the house got to play their part. In the same way, if we want to get the church together, everybody in the church got to play their part.
Right about it, preacher.
Don't tell me you can't play your part. You can play your part.
Amen.
You know, when you was out in the world, you played your part. When you went to that nightclub and the music started playing, did nobody have to ask you to get off and dance? You went on and danced because you played your part. When it was time to drink, you went on and drunk something because you were playing your part. When it was time to sing, you went on and sung because you were playing your part. And if you didn't have a car, you worked hard to get you a car so that you can go out there and party on Friday and Saturday night. Play your part. If you had a car, well, and your car wasn't working right, you saw to it that you got that car fixed. And you fix that car so that you can go out there and party on Friday and Saturday night because you didn't want to miss the big dance. And if you didn't have a dress, if you could sew or you knew somebody that could sew, you either sewed you a dress or got somebody to make you a dress because you weren't going to miss playing your part. In the same way, now that you are saved, you still got that talent. God didn't take that talent away from you. God didn't take that gift away from you. Matter of fact, you came into this world with a talent. Now God also done gave you a spiritual gift. So you got a little extra in order to serve God. And God expects you to go an extra mile of the way. He expects you. So now that you're on the inside of the church, you ought to get your praise on. You danced out there. You can dance in here. You sung out there. You can sing in here. You need to get your praise on. Whatever talent you used in the world, now you need to reverse that and use that talent for God. Don't let your car rot and you can fix that car. You fixed it for when you was out in the world. Go to get that car fixed so you can make it to church on Sunday morning and quit making an excuse. Use your talents for God. Give God your talents. Notice the Bible even talks over here in verse number 34 how the folks, they even went out and cut wood for the Lord. You ought to be able to do any and everything for the Lord. When God is really on the throne, you're willing to give him your time. You're willing to give him your talent. But finally, you're even willing to give him your treasures. Oh, yes, you are. This chapter here talks so much about treasure. Matter of fact, from verse 32 through verse 39, all it talks about is treasure. Look here at verse number 32. It talks about we also place ourselves under obligation to contribute yearly one-third of a shekel for the service, underline this, the house of our God. They say, listen, we're going to pay a temple tax in order that the church can be able to do what it's supposed to do. the house of our God. And then look at verse 34. He said, likewise, we cast lots for the supply of wood among the priests, the Levites, and the people, in order that they might bring it to the hideous, the house of our God, according to our father's household, at fixed time annually, to burn on the altar of the Lord our God. It is written in the law. See, they had burnt offerings in those days. Now, what was to keep the fire burning? Wood was to keep the fire burning. Well, somebody needs to go out there and cut the wood. And so they say, hey, we are making a vow that we're going to keep the fire burning, because we're going to go out there and cut some wood. We're going to bring a wood offering to the Lord. Amen. And look at this third offering. Verse number 35. And in order that they might bring the first fruit of our ground and the first fruit of the fruit of every tree to the house of the Lord annually. Did you notice that word annually keeps showing up? They said, we're going to do this every year. We just ain't going to get started and do it this year, but we are doing this annually. Every year we're going to do this. And then notice here in verse number 37, they talks about other offerings and tithes. Look and say, we will also bring the first of our dough, our contribution, the fruit of every tree, the new wine, the oil, to the priest at the chamber of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground to the Levites, for the Levites are they who receive the tithes in all the rural time. Did you notice that? In other words, they're saying that we're not going to neglect the house of God, because we're going to give all kind of offerings. Whatever the church needs, we're going to give it to it. We're going to give a temple tax. We're going to give a wood offering. We're going to give a first fruit offering. We're going to give all other kind of offerings. And then we're going to pay tithes on top of all of these offerings. Did you notice this? On top of all of these offerings, they say, and we still going to pay our tithes. Amen. They're going to pay tithes and offerings. Don't get quiet on me this morning. I'm preaching Bible this morning. But did you notice that? You know, why did these people do this? It's because they recognize where their blessing come from. When people start complaining, when I hear people complain about giving offerings, I said, they must not know where their blessings come from. When I hear people complain about tithes and debating on should or should I not tithe, I said, they must don't recognize where their blessing come from. See, too many people think that their blessings come from this world below. Folks think that their blessing come from like a company like General Motors, or thinking it come from a Texas Instrument, TI, or thinking it's come from Frito-Lay or one of these other companies. They are thinking that as long as I can get a job at one of those companies, then I have it made. You need to wake up and smell the roses this morning. Haven't you read the news that General Motors is shutting down? They laying off. They sending jobs overseas. And if you got your mind focused on man taking care of you, regardless what the company may be named, what you going to do when they start sending them jobs overseas? What you going to do when they start handing out pink slips? What you gonna do when they start shutting the company down altogether? What you gonna do when they start hiring illegal immigrants in your place? What you gonna do then? See, that was Humpty Dumpty problem. Humpty Dumpty thought he had it made. He had climbed the carpet ladder. Humpty Dumpty had made it to the place of sitting on the wall. Humpty got comfortable sitting on the wall. Humpty was content sitting on the wall. He had arrived at a comfortable place in life. But one day, Humpty kind of had a slight fall. and all the king's horses and all the king's men. They can put Humpty back together again. In other words, Humpty couldn't get put back together again because he had put his faith in the wrong source. He put his faith in the manpower of this world. He put faith in the manpower of the government, all the king's horses and the king's men. But you know, if I was living in Humpty Dumpty Day, and I believe this is Humpty Dumpty Day, I believe I would tell somebody, and I would tell old Humpty first, that Humpty, there is somebody that can put your life back together again. Oh, Humpty. Humpty may not be there. They may not know about him at the White House. They may not know about it at the courthouse. They may not know about it down there at the schoolhouse. But I bet somebody down there at that old church house, I bet they can tell you. I bet they can tell you. I bet somebody down at that church house can get in touch with God. And God can put your life, Humpty, back together again. I know what I'm talking about, because old folks say he's a doctor and he never lost a patient. He's a lawyer and he never lost a case. Isaiah says his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Ezekiel said he's a whale in the middle of another whale. I know they put the life back together again, because Ezekiel said one day God told me to go down to a valley of dry bones, and the bones were very, very dry. But God said, all you gotta do is preach the word, Ezekiel. Ezekiel began to preach the word to them bones, and the bones began to come together, bone by bone. The Bible says that the feet bone began to connect to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone began to connect to the leg bone, and the leg bone began to connect to the knee bone, and the knee bone began to connect to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone began to connect to the spinal bone, and the spinal bone began to connect to the neck bone, and the neck bone began to connect to the head bone. The Bible says their bodies had came together bone by bone, but the Bible said they still did not have any life in the bone. God said, I ain't through yet, Ezekiel. Preach to the wind and tell the wind, wind, come on him and put some life into these dead bodies. And the Spirit of God descended upon them bodies, and life came into those bodies again. So I know I'm right this morning, church. God can make a way for you when it looks like no way. When it looks like all hope is gone, there's hope in God. I say there's hope in God. There's help for the helpless. There's hope for the hopeless. There's strength for those that are weak. Whatever you need, God got it. I say whatever you need, God got it. Do you want what he got today? Do you want what he got? And you want what he got? You can have it today. You can have it. You put your faith in him. He won't let you down. I don't know about you, but I think this story here really ends with the woman
bread of life
in Mark chapter 20, that little widow woman. When Jesus was at the temple, he was at the church, his last stop there at the church. What was Jesus doing? He was checking out the collection plate. And the Bible says that Jesus was checking out the collection plate. Everybody was giving applause.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.